Blog Talk Radio.
Time is cursing you. It won't do you
الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين، وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهدوا الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، وإن كان من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Study al-Islam as we continue our address of subjects under the miraculous nature of the Holy Quran, concepts in the Quran and their impact on our life today, as explained in the tafsir of Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu wa rahmallahu alayh. May Allah be pleased with him and may Allah have mercy on him. I am Imam Fahim Shuaib of Oakland, California. And today we start off, I am the lead off to the topic, explain the influence from bad to worse of Iblis and Jinn on the human development, demystify the concept of Satan. We are going to be focused, for my part, because we have a great team of people involved with this subject, which is inexhaustible in our time and place, and we are going to make our contribution by focusing on demystify the idea of Satan, or demystify the concept of Satan. So, to begin, as my last portion presentation, we spoke about Adam, his wife, and the serpent in the garden, and I chose to focus on Adam. And this is a very important core definition or precept from Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh, that you have to carry with you on subjects like this and two subjects like this. The Imam said, Scripture uses figurative expressions, figurative speech, and abstract symbols to address what is actual, what is scientific, what is very real. That is an important precept for us. When you talk about Adam, when you talk about his wife, when you talk about the garden, when you talk about the serpent, when you talk about the jinn, when you talk about Satan, all of these subjects call for this fundamental understanding in order, by the grace of Allah, to get the best understanding of what Allah has revealed to us in the Quran. So, to speak about Shaitan or Satan, as the English language gives it to us, you have to think in terms, you have to start with the jinn. You have to start with the jinn. There's one adjustment I need to make for my time. I need to set my clock. I didn't do that. So, what is the reality? What is the reality of the jinn? Allah knows best. We're giving an understanding that is inferred from what Allah has revealed. Beyond, and if it does not include explicitly what He said, then Allah, of course, knows best. In the Quran, 15th chapter, 26th and 27th verse, an expression of these verses is, We created man from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape, and the jinn race we created from the fire of a scorching wind. In Surah 55, verses 14 and 15, it says, an expression of it, He created man from sounding clay, like unto pottery, and He created the jinn from fire, free from smoke. There's a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him. It says, Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, She said that the prophet reported that one day, that is, she reported that one day Allah's messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came out of her apartment during the night, and she felt jealousy. Then he came and he saw her in this agitated state of mind. And he said, Aisha, what has happened to you? Meaning, you know, what is this I'm seeing and feeling and sensing from you? He said, continuing, do you feel jealous? Thereupon she said, how can it be that a woman like me should not feel jealous in regard to a husband like you? Thereupon Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, said, it was your jinn. And actually, I'm not looking at the Arabic for this particular hadith, but there are other reports related in association with Aisha, where the translation is actually devil. It says, it was your jinn, this translation, who had come to you. And she said, oh, Allah's messenger, is there along with me a jinn? He said, yes. And I said, is a jinn attached to everyone? This is Aisha. Is a jinn attached to everyone? He said, yes. Then Aisha again said, Allah's messenger, is it with you also? He said, yes. But my Lord has helped me against him, and as such, I am absolutely safe from his mischief. In another hadith, Safiya bint Huyay, radiallahu anh, which is that, pardon me, who was one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she reported, while the Messenger had been observing i'tikaf. I'tikaf is the seclusion in the mosque, the masjid, during Ramadan, the last 10 nights particularly. I came out, that is Safiya, I came out to visit him one night and talk to him for some time. Then I stood up to go back, and he also stood up with me in order to escort me home. There's a lot of instruction for those who want to understand i'tikaf in this, what you can do, what you can't do. There's some very important information there, but I'm not going to stay there. So she went to visit him, and then she was leaving, and then he stood up to go to escort her home. She was at that time residing in the house of Osama bin Zayd, radiallahu anhu. Two people from the Ansar happened to pass them by. They came by them. It's at night. And when they saw her and the messenger, they began to walk swiftly. It's like turn their heads, move in the opposite direction or what have you. Thereupon the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, wait, wait. This is Safiya bint Huyay. He's saying, this is my wife. I'm not with some other woman. That's effectively what he's saying. And both of the persons said, oh, Messenger of Allah, subhanallah. It's like, no, we wouldn't think such things of you. Whereupon the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, Satan circulates in the body of man like the circulation of blood. And I was afraid lest it should instill any evil in your hearts. Now, I invite everybody to find these and look and study, reflect upon them on your own. In the few minutes that we have this morning, we can't. And by the grace of Allah, there's still always more in it than anyone who is able to unpack. Allah is the one who knows all. That being said, take these in deeper reflection to understand it. But I want to associate it with you to help you to reason along with me about these verses, these stories, and understand the reality of the jinn particularly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in chapter 50, ayah 16. He said, "It is we who created man, and we know what dark suggestions his soul makes to him, for we are nearer to him than his jugular vein." So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Satan circulates in the body like the circulation of blood, and I was afraid lest it should instill any evil in your hearts. And the Quran has said, man's soul makes dark suggestions to him, and then there's reference to the jugular vein. So there is an important connection to these passions, these drives, these appetites, these urges that are in man. When we talk about the jinn and when we talk about Satan, I remind you of the Imam's statement, scripture uses figurative expressions, figurative speech, and abstract symbols to address what is actual and what is scientific and what is very real. The reality is that the term jinn points to dynamic operations in the human makeup. Remember, I'm going to take you back. Reasoning in the manner, these sessions are based on tafsir, the methodology, the way of reading of Imam Muhammad. And one of the precepts of that reading, I have to repeat, scripture uses figurative expressions, figurative speech, and abstract symbols to address what is actual, what is scientific, what is very real. So the question is, what is the reality? What is the scientific? What is the concrete that's being pointed to under the label jinn? It is speaking to impulses, appetites, desires, passions, drives. That's what it's pointing to. That is the scientific, that is the actual, that is the real that the jinn points to. And I've already said that there's a whole world in all of this. So it's not to tie it down to say, and it is this and it is only this. No, it is this as well as many other things. But we're focusing on getting to the most fundamental reality of it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he created the jinn from before, from a fire free from smoke. The fire free from smoke is heat. It's heat. And you can find in all of these elements of our reality a kind of heat, a heat that doesn't give off smoke. Appetites, heat, no smoke. Desires, heat, no smoke. Passions, heat, no smoke. Drives, heat, no smoke. Impulses, heat, no smoke. So the jinn is a label for these features of our human nature. Before we say, so that is, he says he created the jinn before. Before what? Before we, by our will and by Allah's grace, place them under Allah's authority, until we learn how to manage, control, direct, utilize, put to our service our own impulses, appetites, desires, passions, drives, before they come under that control, they are very, very problematic. Until they come under that control, they are very problematic. This, brother and sister, is the strong sign of the statement that Suleiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he used the jinn, and actually you look in the Quran also, it's the shayateen. He actually used the shayateen, which is the plural for shaitan. Obviously, that's a long conversation. But let it be understood that Suleiman, soul of man, which is done especially in the English, Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N, Solomon, break it up, in the methodology of Imam Wahdati Muhammad, the soul of man. That is, Solomon is a symbol of the soul of man realizing his great potential, and part of the realization of that great potential is your ability to use your own impulses, appetites, desires, passions, and drives in a way that serves the will and the plan of God. But those impulses, appetites, desires, passions, and drives, before we become mukallaf, I have to give you this term, before we become mukallaf, before we become morally responsible, those passions are already there. And when we reach the age of puberty, it is at that time we actually, in conscience and by will, begin to quote-unquote do battle, if you will, from battle with those impulses, appetites, desires, passions, and drives to get them to act in the ways that are approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but before that, they are explicitly, simply jinn, undomesticated. They are undomesticated impulses, appetites, desires, passions, and drives. They have to come into domestication. They come into domestication when we arrive at that power and the will to serve Allah's will and restrain and constrain all that I've described, everyone in that category, to serve the will and the plan of God. But the jinn was created before we come into that capacity, right? And until this state is achieved, the jinn constitute really our own personal weaknesses, or the potential of weaknesses, but they manifest when we fail and fall under their power, when it is leading us to act in ways contrary to Allah's will in a matter. So if those impulses, those appetites, those desires, those passions, those drives overcome our will to obey Allah and they cause us to obey what they are driving for that contradicts that plan of Allah, well then that's a victory of the jinn over us. And the victory we seek and the power that we seek is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two, as he helped Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam overcome his, we have to overcome ours so that we'll be free from its mischief. But until we do that, we are moving along the track that the road to perdition, I think is the term that is used in the world. So until this state is achieved, the jinn, our jinn, i.e. our personal weaknesses, Satan's strength is in our weaknesses. Satan's plans are weak, right? What does that mean? It means that he works through our weaknesses. So our jinn, our personal weaknesses remain the access point into our hearts for the real Satan. Scripture, Imam Muhammad says that scripture is the beginning of the sciences of the psyche. The world of psychology and psychoanalysis got its start in religion and then introduced itself to the secular world. This is Imam Muhammad's statement. In the language of psychoanalysis, Imam's statement ended when he said they got their psychoanalysis, they got their start in religion and then introduced it to the secular world, end of quote. Now, in the language of psychoanalysis, there's a term called the shadow. And the shadow represents the dark side of all of our personalities. And this can be taken as the psychic equivalent of the term jinn in al-Islam, the shadow. It can be taken as the psychological, psychic equivalent of the term jinn. Remember, the scripture uses figurative expression, figurative speech, abstract symbols to address what is scientific, actual, and very real. So then jinn becomes a label in that understanding. Jinn becomes a symbol of something that is scientific, actual, and very real. The reality is that there is a part of our personality that we, in general, seek not to show to the world. We seek to suppress it, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That there's much of us that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the rest of the world doesn't see. But it takes effort in order to self-restraint, right? To not have those urges, those impulses to dominate in a weird way. I know most of you probably don't indulge any of these type of movies, but I'm just thinking about Venom. This was some crazy Marvel character where this guy has this big alien type creature inside of him that comes out in different ways. That's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of symbol, and it's an exaggeration of the fact that it is our self-control and our self-restraint that causes us to behave in civilized ways. We talk about adab, we talk about proper etiquette, etc. In order to achieve that, you have to suppress any appetites, impulses, desires, passions, and drives that run counter to what is best for the circumstances or what is approved for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can hear in my language yes, that is the job. That is the job. And that is the job. That is the job. That's the thing that we're supposed to be doing every day so that we can evolve to become the better, more civilized, self-restrained, productive, effective, forward-going individual. But you won't be able to do that unless you learn how to manage your own impulses, appetites, desires, passions, and drives like represented in Suleiman. Now, radiallahu anhu. So, rahim allahu alayhi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him as well. I'm moving a little fast because the clock is ticking. All right. So the jinn, when we talk about the jinn is the name for an idea. It's the name for a principle. It's a name for a very real influence that is, now make this very critical distinction, connate. It is not innate. Connate. It is not innate. That is, human nature is, human nature is pure as defined by God. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. So the essence of the masculine, the essence of the female, the essence of the feminine, the essence of the human being is all in this نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. فَأَلْحَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And it has been enlightened as to what would benefit it and what would harm it. So that's how we're all created. That's what we're created. The report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says that there is not one of you, there's no child of Adam, but there is, I read it explicitly, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, said, there is none amongst you who is not attached. Here's the point. You heard it also in the hadith with Aisha radiallahu anhu. Is there not a jinn attached? Is there a jinn attached to me? Yes. Is there a jinn attached to everyone? She asked. Yes. Is there a jinn attached to you? Yes. And now Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, there is not one amongst you who is not attached to a jinn. So let's go back to that idea about the shadow. So with regard to the shadow is representative of those aspects of ourselves that we seek to manage, control, and we use language like repress sometimes, but it's really about managing, controlling, directing. See the jinn really, in a way of understanding, an analogy, it's like, it could be like dogs that you train to hunt or train to protect and secure. They could be like horses that they run wild, but then you have to learn how to domesticate them. You have to learn how to saddle and bridle them, learn how to direct their paths, learn how to use their energy, harness their energy to the best possible values. Those who don't do that are those who are not getting the benefit of that nature. So there's a jinn attached to us, but we have to learn how to bring that jinn under our dominion, just like with Suleiman again, alayhi salatu wasalam. Suleiman, he had in his council an ifrit of the jinn. An ifrit of the jinn is like, this was no small jinn. This was a big, powerful jinn, and he was on the council. So the jinn is not bad, but that he's out of control and working against the plan of God. But now, if you evolve in your own soul, in your own potential, you can bring jinn, big and small, under your management. But then don't think Aladdin's lamp or flying carpets or anything like that. Think in terms of motivation, drive, sentiments, aspirations, impulses, urges, those things. People have big appetites, big aspirations, big desires, big urges. That's good, but they have to be brought under control. Let's move on. So the jinn is carnate, meaning it comes along with us. It's attached to us, just like the shadow is attached to the body. There's no body without a shadow. There's no body without a shadow. Where's the shadow? The shadow is attached to the body itself. The shadow is a part of our existence. So just understand that. Carnate is different from innate. It's not inborn. The jinn is not inborn. We're not born as jinn, right? You're born, but then a jinn is assigned, a jinn is attached, according to the reports of the prophet. And again, like the psychoanalytical term, the shadow, the jinn is connected to our life, just like the physical shadow is connected to our bodies. So this is one of the significances that we can take from when Allah says, get ye down from here altogether in the Quran 2:36. Iblis and the jinn is not in Adam, but he's with Adam. Get ye down from here altogether. Right. So again, there's much more to be said. Time is ticking. So how should we perceive the Satan? Imam Muhammad says the Satan is real. He's not he's not an imaginary creature that thing exists. He is not operating in some realm of reality that man is not connected with. He is operating in the realm of reality that man knows. Quoting Imam again. Though Satan is a form separate from man, Satan operates in the realm of rational thought. That's why he's so dangerous. End quote. I do have to mention that, knowing that, because we have less than 5 minutes remaining now, we are going to continue this subject for those of you who would join us on Clear Understanding that Institute, and you can reach us by going to the Facebook Live or YouTube Live, as some of you are there now, but we'll be back on there at 10:30. But we're going to have to conclude this portion of it today, and there's a dua that we want to make before we close out. But yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll speak to that, inshallah. I'll go ahead. I'll conclude by speaking to that very, very thing. Imam Muhammad actually makes that very clear. So I guess I can take advantage of just reading the Imam's quote on that regard. So the Imam says, he says, it says, Iblis was the beginning of the shaitan, right? It was the start of it, but shaitan is the real one. He says, Iblis was the beginning of that, but it got worse because of Iblis's position. Then it got worse. The Satan developed from Iblis. The Satan developed from Iblis. So the Satan is really the enemy of man. Iblis actually thought he was a friend of man and God, a friend of man and God. He actually thought he was a friend of God and man, but his error opened the way for Satan. Now, the Imam is pointing out, and I put parenthetically, said it's a disposition. So I'd have to go back to the earlier parts of this quote to tie it in, but explicitly, Iblis is a disposition that comes in. So then the Imam goes on, he says, that disposition, where Shaitan comes in, he says, that disposition degenerated further to what we call Satan. And I should add that the term balasa, the term Iblis, comes from the root balasa, and which means to despair. And then shaitan also is rooted in the term shaitana, and that shaitana means he's separated. So the point is that despairing is a certain condition of mind, heart, spirit that an individual comes into. They become desperate. We talk about desperado. They become desperate, and they, in that state, open the door for another condition to develop in them, and that condition in the degeneration of that state opened up by Iblis with the despair. The Aisha report, she spoke from a position of jealousy. And there's another report that also shows of her envy. But the point is that that disposition is the disposition that inclines towards the shaitan. And what are we being separated from? We're being separated from the will of God for humanity. Let me go ahead and finish more of this quote from the Imam. It says, when that disposition degenerated further, then it came to be what we call Satan. And I used to think that Iblis, the Imam says, I used to think that Iblis was the big one and Satan was small. No. If Satan, then Iblis was the big one, and Allah, if Satan was the big one, Allah would have said, A'udhu billahi, if Iblis was the biggest one, sorry, I'm pressed for time. If Iblis was the big one, then Allah would have said, A'udhu billahi bil Iblis. He, Iblis, was the opening. He was the change in the attitude and the disposition of the rational mind. Because we know that the jinn have rational mind like men, the same as the human being. They have rational minds, the jinn. So Iblis was the first change, scientific, actual, and real. So who is Iblis? Iblis is a label for the first change in the disposition of the rational mind that threatened man and stood as a block against man's future that God wanted for him. He was the first block to man's future, Iblis. Then when that determination got stronger and stronger, it became Satan. So concluding the Imam's quote, he puts it here. He says, start with the jinn. The Iblis, who was the head of the angels, he was the head of the angels, then after Iblis, the shaitan. And then after the shaitan, the taghut. That's a whole other thing, but it is critically important. Look at Surah 2, 255 and 2, 256 for some very rich connections for this. Shaitan made the taghut, and the taghut then came only after shaitan had gotten his strategy. What is his strategy? Rational lies. Together, when he got those together, then the taghut are the ones who carry out the strategy. They get the strategy from shaitan, and then they are all hosts. So I'm going to conclude this, that you have Iblis was a jinn. Jinn is that state that you have to bring it under management, bring it under domestication, bring it under the rule of God, or you're going to have problems. Well, Iblis was the change in the disposition to have those aspirations serving God, and so now it became the first block against the will of God for humanity. And as it grew, as you become stronger in resistance to the plan of God for man, then there it's no longer Iblis, now it's Shaitan. What does Shaitan do? Shaitan creates the taghut. Creates the taghut, and it's the taghut that carries out the works of shaitan. Actually, that movie Suicide Squad, the big crazy creature there, you can see those little starfish that come out of there as the taghut. I know I'm kind of mystifying somebody on that if you haven't seen it. It is not an invitation to see it, but it's illustrating that. I believe I'll need to just go ahead and conclude. Yes.
Ma'am, I need you to say again, I know you said you're going to continue this conversation. Can you say once again for those who want to connect with you to learn more about this? Can you repeat that?
Thank you. Well, the easiest way is to get to me on, just be in touch with me on the Facebook, on my Facebook pages, right? There are two Facebook pages. One is Imam Fahim Shuaib, and the other is Fahim Shuaib. That's one way. And also on my YouTube platform, on the YouTube platform, just Fahim Shuaib. And that's where you can find me. That's where we'll be at 10:30 Pacific time. Pacific time.
Before you leave, and please forgive me.
It's okay.
So the summary of your talk today
mm-hmm.
is that we all have a gym.
Yes.
And the risk we run when we don't get our gym under control is that it opens the door to Iblis. And then the next level is that that behavior becomes shaitan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, you got it. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Really
Alhamdulillah,
you.
Thank you. And the Prophet said the right question is half of wisdom. So you had the question. That's great.
Well, the question was originated from a lecture that I heard you give on from bad to worse, the evolution of the jinn, iblis, and shaitan, not in those very same ways.
I got you.
This question was derived from a lecture I heard you give, and it impacted me so much because of the connection between the jinn, iblis, and shaitan.
Allah,
so, Brother Imam, if you would close us out, because so many of our jinns have become iblis, and they definitely are showing themselves as Satan.
MashaAllah, 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 Alhamdulillah. So we conclude with dua. Rabbana, our Lord, you are the great, you are the generous, you are the merciful, you are the compassionate, you are the one without whom nothing exists. You are the one upon whom all depend, and you are the one who everyone comes to as a servant, not as an equal, not as a partner, not as an associate. We, O Allah, ask you to bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you blessed Abraham and the followers of Abraham, and make us successful as followers of Muhammad as you did make successful the followers of Abraham. O Allah, we ask you, though we know you are the powerful, you are the present, and you are willing for the best for humanity. O Allah, but your messenger has taught us to ask you, even though we know that you are the merciful, but we ask for your mercy. We know that you are the forgiving, but we ask for your forgiveness. We know that you are never unjust to any of your creatures, but we ask you for the justice and the support and the help and the protection of those people who are suffering oppression around the world, Muslim and non-Muslim. We pray, O Allah, that you guide those who are battling and fighting against oppression in its many, many forms and its many, many guises. Strengthen them, enable them to overcome what opposes them. And, O Allah, those that are suffering the natural disasters of fires and earthquakes and floods and other deadly experiences in their lives, we know that you are never unjust to any of your creatures. But your messenger has invited us and told us to ask you for the protection of the poor and the weak and the sick, and we pray for their guidance. O Allah, straighten our hearts and straighten our minds and purify our spirits and bless us to become what you have created us to be, and bless us not to rationalize disobedience. Bless us not to seek to justify ourselves from for straying. O Allah, we beg your aid and assistance. We beg your aid and assistance against our own weaknesses. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salat Institute. And this morning we're continuing our subject that began on Study al-Islam this morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time. And we're speaking about the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan, alhamdulillah. But before I go on, I'd like to hear from you. Now, those of you who post comments, greetings, and the like on the YouTube, Facebook side, et cetera, on this StreamYard platform, I'm not up to speed on what it takes to reply to you directly. There's just one place for me to type in any comments, and those comments would go to all. So I'm going to learn. I'll be evolving on that. It's just one YouTube lesson away, I'm sure. But Blog Talk Radio is the easiest way to get there. But you can still post up your your question. If you have a question or a comment on the Facebook, YouTube, whichever way you're reaching us or receiving us, then type it in. So if it's a question, I can read it and reply. If it's a comment, I can also read it. But for now, based on our timing, let's go ahead and go to Blog Talk Radio, and then we'll take a couple of comments if there are those there, and then I will continue with some content for this morning's subject. Alhamdulillah. Brother Melvin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Imam, and I'm glad you played that today because I did miss the study of Islam presentation, but I will go back and watch it again. But what you brought to my mind with your explanation, which this is a very, very helpful subject matter, was as you were saying, you know, about the fire free from smoke, which many of us have heard before. Mm-hmm. But your conversation brought my mind to the oven, or also sometimes mm-hmm. known as a hearth. And I said, well, man, because you don't think of an oven, even though there is fire in there, you don't really think of the fire. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of heat, you know, an oven heats things and it can burn things up, even though there's no real direct fire. And so mm-hmm. I thought I saw a connection with this fire free from smoke and the yeah. connection with the hearth, which you see the word heart in, and a connection, and then an H at the end of it, which is a yeah. wind, if you will, you know? So I just wanted to... to throw it out, because I'm sure you can bring more to that, but there's something I saw very superficially right away. I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's a connection there. So I just wanted to comment on that and continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could work with that hearth. You could work a long time with that one. Right? Mm. Just a couple of quick steps. These are just going to be quick steps, then we got to go. We've got some other people lining up. You know, okay, hearth, H-E-A-R-T-H, right? Hearth.
Yeah.
Right. Take the H off the back, and you got heart, right? H-E-A-R-T, right? Which is mm-hmm. one of the places where this burning happens, right?
Yes.
Heart.
Yes.
Okay. Then you take the H off the front, then you got earth. And when you understand mm-hmm. the symbolic meaning of earth, it's actually the body. The earth is a symbol of body. The topsoil mm-hmm. on the earth is called humus, because mm-hmm. it is the human being. And Adam, actually, it's one of the meanings of Adam is actually also earth as well. That, okay, so then you take the TH off the end, which that's a consonantal blend, TH, so hearth, so they go together. So you take them off together. And what do you have? You have here, right? H-E-A-R. Yeah. Right, and then the connection of what we're talking about, Satan, the only power Satan was actually given was his seductive voice, right? So he whispers, right, into the what? Into the hearts of men, right? But you know, in order to get to the heart, you got to go through the ear, right? So take the H right. off of there, then you got E-A-R, right? And then you know, H-E on the front and A-R-T on the back, so now you're back to art, right? And there's a lot to extend on that. But I'm saying you touched on something very important. You're right. Yes. And those are intuitions. When you have those kind of questions, that's intuition. What we have to learn how to do is quote unquote sit with our intuition. That's we talk about reflecting, right? Tadabbar. Talking about reflect. Sit down, take that idea, and let me see what's in this idea. And you meditate on it, you reflect on it, mashallah. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Hello. We got my brother Dante. Is that you?
Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. Yes, sir.
Alaykum as-salam. How's it going?
Life is beautiful. Life is good. Thank Allah.
Life is, yes.
Hey,
it is.
I was discussing with Imam Eric out of Philly yesterday. He had sent me something, and we were talking about he had used the word earlier, and then he said as I'm texting you using the word earlier, I see the word ear. in that word
you
earlier.
See the word
so we
ear?
Had a little ear in earlier.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so we were going back and forth, and I was saying, talking about how, like, Shaitan, Iblis, was an earlier creation of the earlier creation than man, and that's why he had the advantage over man and him, you know, causing Adam to slip. So if you are, will you be able to elaborate more on that?
I believe, and Allah knows best, I believe, you know, what you've said, I believe that makes the point. But again, like I was saying, that we when you know, they come to us as intuition, I mean, all of us, you know, it just, you know, here's something that, when you say, oh, I just noticed your ear in earlier, and then it extends to something else. That's intuition at work. That's intuition bringing some light to some signals from some signals that you get. Okay, then you take that with you, you sit down, and you reflect on it, see if it leads to or connects with something else. So the one connection that you've already mentioned in terms of earlier, so make a connection between that. And you also, the ear is back in that statement when we talked about Satan having his ability to whisper, you know, into the hearts of mankind, right? And also when you talk about, I believe it's Lucifer, don't hold me to this, but I'm just saying, in terms of, I know of the reference, but I can't locate it, particularly in the Bible sitting right here. But he's called the bright and morning star, the bright and morning star, right? So he's up earlier, right? Then see, so I'm just saying, it just continues, because there's something else that comes right behind that. We talked about, he said, and the morning and the evening was the first day, right? So you have the morning, right? Mourning is also death, right? When you say you mourn somebody's death, you have good morning, right? So that's in there, right? But then the evening, right? That you could take a positive take on that evening. Everything is being balanced out, right? The evening. But then also you got Eve in that, right? Eve, when the sun is setting, all right, when the consciousness goes down, when things begin to get dark, and then you got Surat al-Falaq, that's speaking of the dawn, and we seek refuge, you know, from the darkness as it overspreads, if I'm in the right surah. But these are all, you know, just kind of intuitive touches on that. So it's really about, you know, when you sense something, maybe there's something there, and then you follow it, and you see if you can connect it with something that you know that's not forced, and it's natural, and it'll have some harmony, some symmetry to it. And because really that's the world that we live in. We live in a world that was created, quote unquote. I'm talking about the worldly creation, the social, the culture that has been created. They have preserved in the language and in the symbols and in the stories and in the artifacts and in the art, in those things that they've memorialized, they preserved in the language especially, they preserved the wisdom which reveals to some and hides from others, such that the world becomes like a donkey carrying books, as the Quran says, and the world just simply, you know, when they are not clear about something that's going on, they will listen to the masses of people who are the donkeys, the burden bearers of the world, and pull from them lessons to guide them in a given circumstance. We will be the solution to a problem and not even know it. But those who have been taught to learn, those who know how to use us and to use culture for the abstraction of solutions to problems, that's what they do with us, right? And so where we are now, mashallah, by the grace of Allah and the help of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, we have eyes that are like the eyes that they have. And we are able to see in the grammar, the social grammar, the cultural grammar, the symbolic language that they use, and the actual social language that they use. They say, oh, okay, we see what's going on. But then, you know, first it starts with intuition, and then you turn over that rock and you see if there's something there by the help and the guidance of Allah, and that's how we search it out.
I mean, thank you, brother, man.
All right, thank you. Get Imam the greeting from me, okay?
Will do.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. All right. Imam Asmar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Imam. I enjoyed the program last night very, very much.
Thank you.
So I'm getting back to the question, but the your topic today, you know, raised a lot of other answers, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So the schemes of Shaitan that we are to fight, and so you've talked about the individual and the collective, and
mm-hmm.
in relationship to community, I believe, and education,
mm-hmm.
and you brought up three items: synergistic, parallel, and antagonistic.
Yes,
that kind of gets in the way of. The collective and also community development. So this antagonistic attitude is a part of the response to the suggestions of Shaitan.
I would say yes.
So that's just one statement. And then
mm-hmm.
Then the other thing is that the brother who just made his statement on the earlier, it's coming to my mind about the ear and the adhan.
Yes.
And the adhan comes as the call, really, to cultivation and to prayer. And
yes.
You mentioned those terms that reflect on the Fajr, the Maghrib, and also the Isha, and moving from darkness to the dawn and to the daylight. That's
yes.
it. I just wanted to make that statement. And
right.
you know, maybe that's something to interject. I don't want to go too far, but I really call back to the question. But if you want to delay my question from yesterday, we can come back to it later, and
okay,
I'll be fine with it,
about,
and I'll bring it up another time.
You're talking about the spirit and the body, right? Do we have the spirit of community, something to that effect, right?
Exactly.
Does that? Okay.
Do we have in the teachings and lectures of Imam W. E. Muhammad the spirit of community?
Yes. Yes, we do have that. I actually made a note that since I made a promise that I'm going to contribute to the subject that I started in this morning, I have to do that. But since I invited you also to bring the subject back up, and since I have a comment from the imam that has bearing on that, I'm going to try to accomplish both things. So I will abbreviate what I share with you on your question. I think Allahu a'lam, but we'll go ahead and do that. So you mind taking your answer quote off the air?
I'll take it off the air, or we can wait till
I'm just about to hang up your phone. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
so.
Go ahead. That's fine.
All right, good.
That's fine.
All right. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. Okay. Alhamdulillah. So some of you may have been with us on, maybe it was yesterday's broadcast. Broadcasts start to blend together over time. But Imam Asmar raised the question, if we have the spirit of community, and I'm saying yes, but then we also concluded that the spirit needs a body. And so that's what come to. You have the spirit, but now the spirit needs a body. What comes to mind is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when one of the companions asked him when was prophethood established for him. He said it was established for him when Adam was between spirit and body, when Adam was between spirit and body, meaning Adam hadn't even come into a body when prophethood had been established for him. So it's a part of the nature of creation that he would become the prophet. But it also, that hadith also brings to mind that spirit exists before the body, and that is not how obvious that may seem to you. Things become stronger when you can have artifacts from our sources, Quran, life model of Prophet Muhammad, that support the thought that, okay, there's a spirit before there's a body. So it exists. Now, how does the spirit come into a body? So I did find this quote from the Imam. Mashallah, I didn't actually make note of the source, but I can get back to it from the many transcripts, inshallah. But let me read this, because I made a note to myself on it. I said this has bearing on Imam Asmar's question on community. Now, I haven't studied it per se, but I'm going to go ahead and read it because I was satisfied when I found it in search of other things. I said, well, this would be good to reply to that. So let's go. Quoting the Imam, he says, we were in matter. Now, this is the Imam speaking of human beings. We were in matter, existing as a seed, needing the right environment. God says of the ummah, you were, now he's talking about kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. That's the verse that he's making tafsir on. Kuntum ukhrijat linnas. You are the best brought out for mankind. Ukhrijat linnas. All right. So I'm quoting the Imam. He said, of the ummah, you were. Then he goes on. Everything I'm saying is from the Imam. He says, but it means you are. At the same time, it means you are. But kuntum is revelatory. You see, hold on to this word. You've heard the Imam say it, right? So now I'm telling you, so revelatory, that's very, very, very important as a term. So kuntum is, he says, revelatory and revealing something. It's in the nature of the revelation, right? It's revealing something. And the ukhrijat, the Imam says, is the connection that we should make. Right, that he had to bring us out, that ukhrijat. God is saying he had to bring us out. Go back to the Imam's first statement. He says, we were in matter existing as a seed, needing the right environment, right? And so then he says, it is revelatory that when Allah says, kuntum ukhrijat, he says, ukhrijat is the connection that we should make, that he had to bring us out. We were in our existence. We were in our existence. We were in matter existing as a seed, needing the right environment, the right support for it to manifest or materialize, right? And we got that with the Quran and Muhammad's teaching. With his example, we got that and we materialized. We manifested, we materialized as the best community on this planet. And where's the community now? Where's that community now? It is in serious trouble. It is in bad shape. God says that he created everything and that he inscribed everything on everything excellence. And if we are students of science, we should know that this creation is the work of God, Allah. I love God, and I love to know his work so that I can know more about him. That's where I ended the quote. But now let's go back then, what he's saying. So the analogy to be drawn to this spirit that we have for community, we have the spirit for community. We have the spirit of community. We can even say the spirit of ummah. Speaking of, we have the desire to become ummah. We have the appetite to become ummah. That all that is seed and all that is spirit. So you have the concrete image, the abstract seed, referring to the reality of us having the spirit to become something, the spirit to go somewhere, to the spirit to manifest something. All that seed represents the spirit. So there's a correlation between the seed and its potential and our spirit and our appetite for ummah, our appetite for the fulfillment of what Allah intends for us. So yes, we do have that. We are that seed. We do have that potential. We do have that aspiration. We do have that appetite. But we need an environment for it to manifest, right? So you can see that seed, if it is that we have the aspiration, the desire, the appetite, the potential, et cetera, that's fine. But it's not going to manifest what it is capable of, what its potential bears, until the right environment for it surrounds that. Now, what the imam said about that, he says, we got that. So here the imam is telling us the environment for that spirit to manifest its potential, to realize its aspiration, to become what we hope for, aspire to. You can hear spirit in aspiration. What we hope for, what we aspire to, we have to find the right environment. It needs the right environment, the right support in order to manifest or materialize. Then the imam says in his statement, and we got that with the Quran and Muhammad's teaching. The Quran and Muhammad's teaching is the flesh that our spirit needs to come into. The Quran and Muhammad's teaching, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's that we have to take that potential, take that aspiration, take that desire, and we have to implant it in the Quran and in the life model of Prophet Muhammad, his teaching. Now, when we are in that, meaning what? Get into it, practice it, live it, language, logic, sensitivity, the language, logic, sensitivity relative to all the things that we have. And when we are embraced by that, by embracing it, that's how we're going to materialize as the best ummah. That's how we're going to realize that. So that means more of us have to get into the Quran, literally. You have to get into the Quran. Come on, get on the bus, get on the plane, get on the train, get in the boat, in order for us to get to where we want to go as ummah and as community. But the longer it takes us to get into the Quran and into Muhammad's teaching, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the longer it's going to take for us to manifest ummah and community. Imam, I'm going to let you come back, and then I'm going to cut away and go somewhere else. So I'm opening you up. Comments, Imam?
Okay, yeah. So that's it exactly what I was thinking. Well, I didn't mention it, and I didn't mention it for a reason, that that the Quran would be the answer. And so just briefly, the spirit. And I read another article. I can't recall where I read it at yet. But with Imam, no, it was on Khalifa. The role of Khalifa. It was a video on YouTube. The role of Khalifa. Mm-hmm. Imam mentioned, and it's the question and answer period. And Imam, mm-hmm. a brother asked the question. And Imam said, spirit and the soul are two separate entities. And the spirit, mm-hmm. he say, is direction.
Mm-hmm.
So direction is when the Quran came.
Yes.
And it goes right into now. The education of the spirit
yeah.
for direction of the soul. But just briefly, community mm-hmm. is not the ultimate destiny. We have to get yeah. to community, but the ultimate destiny is really just really Muslim and the nafsin mutmainina.
Yes.
It's nafsin mutmainina when we are one. And we really return to Allah in this life. It's the heaven.
Yeah, right.
It's the Baladil Amin.
Yeah, Baladil Amin, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Exactly. Yes.
All that's Khalifa. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
All righty, ma'am.
Alhamdulillah.
You got it.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. All right, shukran.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, brother and sister, let's add a little bit to this morning's subject matter. I feel it, well. Let me just go ahead. Let me just do it. Let's see. Okay. You know, when I have two computers here in the house, and when I work on one, come to the other, if I haven't saved it on that, I don't want to lose it. All right, brother and sister, okay. This is real world stuff. I'm going to have to go and save the document on my other computer so it can show up on my desktop here. Sorry about that. Listen to the song again. I'll be back. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All right, so we're ready. So now, comments that I want to read from the Imam. I have many quotes. They were so long, based on the amount of time that we're going to have on study al-Islam. I said, well, no, don't go all the way with that. But now I'd like to read longer portions of comments from the Imam. And add one other idea. So the Imam says he had done. I won't go through the whole hadith, but he talked about how Allah had showed the paradise to Jibril, and Jibril said, "Who would not want to see there, who will not want to be there, etc." Then Allah showed it after it had been influenced, the Imam explained, influenced by Shaitan. And he said, and Jibril says, well, who's gonna be able to make it? It's like nobody's gonna be able to get there. Nobody's gonna be able to avoid falling victim to it. And so the Imam is explaining how this report is actually speaking about Satan's influence in the environment and particularly in the consciousness of the human being in that sense. So the comment, the quote that I took from that to the end of that pointing out, and now the Imam's explanation, he's explaining that it's not that God, when people read it and say, and then God caused it to be this way, God caused it to be that way, and then so it's read as though God is doing that. The Imam said, no, it came from the devil, Satan. It says that Satan made alluring to them. In the Imam's quote, it stops. It says Satan made alluring to them. We know that the continued portion of that phrase is, and Satan made their ill deeds, fair seeming to them. Satan created allurements, right? So Satan made alluring to them. He puts the allurements in that. He makes the allurements, Satan, like lure, you know, people who fish, you know, you use lures, right? So the allurements are the allurements of Shaitan, the effects in the creation itself. But those effects are coming through the way that Shaitan is influencing the consciousness of the individuals. I'll continue to read the Imam's quote. He said he makes the allurements, not that it didn't have attractiveness. The Imam is speaking about the creation itself, not that it didn't have attractiveness before, but man obviously was not influenced by, the Imam says, the zinun of the creation, the zinun of creation. And we should, I'm inside the quote now, but we should take the value of the Imam pointing that out to us. So he's going somewhere else and more specific with it, but in his perception of it, his expression, explanation of it, he brings this word to our attention, zinun, because it's connected with beauty, yes, but also it's connected with zina. Zina is adultery, fornication. It is talking about illegal intercourse, right? And then also zayana is there's beauty. Right, so you have beauty, so you have the positive side, and you also have the negative side, and that's also the nature of creation. You know, the khayr and the shar. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. So inside of the creation is potential benefit, and there's a potential harm, but it depends on which side of this nature in creation are you being influenced by. All right. And so the Imam is explaining, I'll go back to his quote, he says he was not the human being at the point before Shaitan gets involved. He said he was not influenced by the zinun of creation. That verse where, I'm outside, that verse where the Quran says, who has denied my service the beautiful things of this world? That same root term that the Imam is referring to is also in that verse, the beautiful things of this world. It says, you're not to deny the beautiful things of this world, therefore the believers in this world and for them exclusively in life that comes hereafter. But you have to be mindful of the khair and the shar of everything, like that man that went into the garden in a spirit unjust to his own soul, right? So how you approach this garden, how you approach the beautiful things, that's the critical thing, and that's where Shaitan can interrupt and intercede and influence your perception of the very things that you've been blessed with and undo you by that. So I'm going back to the Imam's quote. The Imam said he was not influenced by the zinun of the creation, but he was influenced by obedience. His influence was obedience. He was conscious of his taqwa. He was conscious of his obedience to God, all right? That in the original creation of man, right, I'm saying, that in the original creation of man was the influence that he was under, the label taqwa. and the function obedience to God. That, Imam continues, that was the greatest influence in him. Not the attract of the world that God had made, not the attraction of the world that God had made, though God had made the world beautiful. Okay? So man was on the khayri side of the creation when he saw in the creation and was influenced by the nature of creation to obey. That is obedience. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we just mentioned, right? Because everything in the celestial order obeys the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you can draw from it and be influenced by its nature projecting obedience, right? Even though it was beautiful, although God, the Imam's quote, although God had made the world beautiful. But then the Satan came and he put allurements in the path to attract man's attention to the appeal of the world. And that's what caused him, man, to get in a situation where he could have his rational life undermined by Satan. Alhamdulillah. These are big lessons, big questions. These are questions and lessons that have puzzled, mystified human beings, that institutions have been built around partial answers to these questions, whole philosophies and whole societies built upon half answers, the best available answers to the very questions that are right here. Just in that statement, we do it. So just, we'll pull out, inshallah, with Allah's help, just a little bit of it here. Satan came and he put allurements in the path to attract man's attention to the appeal of the world. And that's what caused him, man, to get in a situation where he could have his rational life undermined by Satan. All right. So what happened was Shaitan took the natural man, the obedient man, the God-conscious man, that one, that fitr, the person who is still on their fitr, still having that natural God-consciousness, taqwa, right, took his attention off of obedience and put his attention on the appetite that the society, but not, less so the society, though it applies to society, but seeing in creation only a way to gratify his appetites, only a way to satisfy his urges, only a way to satisfy his impulses. You remember? So we're talking about the jinn, iblis scenario there. So he was at the state where he still has these, desires, appetites, et cetera, but as long as his attention, man's attention, as long as his attention is on the obedience to God, then those appetites and urges do not unsettle him, right? And if man keeps his attention on the obedience that is projected to him through the natural creation, then that will also provide the foundation for his thinking. Imam Muhammad, in the book that was published by Imam Rano under the title Education of Sacred Matter, Imam Muhammad just simply goes far in explaining the fact that, look, the creation is a classroom. The creation is a universe that is emitting, transmitting, projecting knowledge and patterns of thought. And when you use the creation as the foundation source for your patterns of thought, then you're going to be guided, okay? So when you recognize the creation as the creation of God and it being for the purpose of your service, yes, and your guidance, yes, but that it has to be that obedient structure, the grammar of creation, you could even call it, when you keep your mind connected to that obedient quality, that ordered quality, that disciplined quality in the creation, that in concert with your love and recognition and obedience to God, then your rational life is going to go in the best direction. It's going to go in the best direction. But if Shaitan pulls you up, or if there's an attitude, which is what it is, if there's an attitude and a disposition and a half-truth that feeds a, let's call it, a stray desire, a stray impulse, a stray attitude, if somebody feeds you a thinking that causes you to take your eyes off of what Allah has ordered as obedience, take your eyes off of God's creation. You see, Shaitan comes in between, and he becomes a mediator between you and creation. So that's the problem with the media, literally speaking. We're not connected with the natural order of creation, the natural plan and will of God that's manifest in creation. So Shaitan has this screen up before us and has us disconnected from creation, and therefore we get disconnected from the disobedience, and now he controls the environment that feeds our perception, that feeds our thinking, that feeds our senses, all of which is designed to take us off of the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, that imagery is what we're actually seeing in the abstract in that picture of Adam and his wife and the Shaitan post-Iblis. That's just a restatement of what's going on right now. And it happened in ages and generations and civilizations before us. Shaitan, same thing over and over again. So the point is that once your eyes, mind, consciousness gets taken off of the natural order and design and the obedient essence in the nature of creation, well, then your rational life is being undermined. You won't be thinking straight. You won't be thinking straight. And not thinking straight, naturally you're going to think crooked. And when you think crooked, then crooked is going to seem straight to a mind that's been deceived by the rational lies of Shaitan. So let's finish this quote, and we're going to call it a morning. That's what Satan actually did. I'm quoting the Imam again. That's what Satan actually did. He undermined the man's rational basis. He destroyed the man's rational basis by leading him to rational lies. And yes, that goes together. Rationalize. See, if when you do wrong, this is back to the fire free from smoke. When you do wrong, when we do wrong and then rationalize the wrong that we're in Satan's playground. We're in Satan's ground, Satan's territory. Because even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah revealed it to us, he says, why don't you submit to what I created with my two hands? And he said, I'm better than him. And God says, get out of here. It's not for you to be that way. And Satan says, because you have put me in the wrong, I'm going to attack your man from the right to left, from before, from behind. So the idea is that Satan plays the blame game. It's like, hey, it wasn't me. I mean, I was fine. Now here it is coming. It's not the right thing to do, and I'm going to prove it, right? Rationalize. So he rationalizes to himself. I'm better than him. So I'm justified in being this way, you know. Why should I be charged with reacting this way? Nothing wrong with this way. Rationalize. And then he gets himself into a position where he's able to sell these rational lies, these counterfeit truths, these sparkling, glittering half-truths designed to delude the mind, the Quran says. And this is what people off track by when they go astray, that as they go astray, and this is the source, this is a part of the origin of their going astray, beginning to think and reason not upon what Allah has created, not upon the order of creation and the obedience of creation and the grammar of creation, which is a reflection of the will of God itself, but you start using your own thoughts to guide your behavior, which are not grounded in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and what Allah has revealed. Let's finish that. He says, by leading him to rational lies. right? So keep that clear. Rational lies, yeah. Oh, it's a lie. Well, it sounds rational, right? But if you're not intelligent enough to be able to see that it's a lie, though rational, then you're going to get God. And then also, if you're the one who's producing them, then you are doing what they call it, what, that action is to rationalize, meaning justify wrongdoing. That's reality. Okay, right, the imam said. He said, oh, you're not going to surely die, speaking of what the serpent, this is the garden representation of it. It says, this is the tree of eternal life, and maybe by suggestion, maybe even the angels don't want you equal to them. This is Satan talking to Adam and his wife in that scriptural picture. Maybe even the angels don't want you to be equal to them. Maybe even God doesn't want you to go up where he is, because if you eat this, you'll become like the angels and God, huh? Yeah, that was some powerful, powerful seduction. It says, don't let Satan cause you, the Quran is the imam is speaking to. He says, don't let the Satan cause you to be ejected from the garden like he did your parents, having them take off their protection of righteousness. And the imam says, rationalizing. We have to be careful of rationalizing, because one of the because once the rational spirit takes over, the mind can make anything right that's wrong. The mind can rationalize anything. This is the peculiar quality of this thing we call mind. I think we all know by now that all minds are not good minds. And I'm talking about high IQ or low IQ. There's no correlation between IQ and morality. You have evil geniuses, right? So the point is that the point is that if any mind adopts the practice and the habit of rationalization, meaning that they become skilled at rationalization, then that means there's an ill deed. And they say, oh, okay, well, let me see how we can make that all right. And so they manufacture ways to numb the conscience of individuals who they want to bring under the sway of their rational lies. And so they articulate it in a way where those who are not capable of critiquing the rationale, then they become subject of the rationalization. They have been brought into the spider's web that Shaitan had weaved for them. So much more to be said about this, but mashallah, inshallah, there'll be another time. So I thank you so much for your time, attention, and your presence this morning. See you, inshallah, tomorrow, Wealth Creation and Preservation, inshallah, 4:30 Pacific time. Myself and my co-host, Miss Camila Mahasin Bilali and Shuad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.